Chapter 15, I'll ask you to stand as we read the first seven verses of this chapter. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, were they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. I want us to study tonight this king Azariah. He is also known in the scripture as King Uzziah. I want to study him tonight, but I really don't believe the text of the message, the heart of the message, the help of the message is necessarily in Azariah or Uzziah. It is in the Lord, and I hope you'll see that at the conclusion tonight. Every song set up what we're going to look at tonight in Scripture. And in preaching, amazing, every song. God never misses. Father, we thank you for the word. Pray, God, you'd help us to preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for each one that's here. I pray, God, you'd bless them, God, to hear the word of God. God, we think about Ezekiel. There was a time that he stood in a valley of dry bones, and you said, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, O Lord, thou knowest. He said, prophesy to them. And God caused the mighty army to come together. Lord, we stand in a place tonight, God, not of dry bones, but of Christians who are believers, who are Spirit-filled, who should be encouraged. But Lord, there may be one tonight that's discouraged. God, I pray you give them the help that they need tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just for alliteration's purposes, we'll try to keep all of our points on the letter P, and the first one's a hard one. It is the prospectus of the kingdom. You and I know it better as a summary. It's found in verses 1 through 4. God says this young man Azariah, at the age of 16 years old, became king. He reigned 52 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet he did not take away the high places. In other words, he was a good king, but he wasn't necessarily the great king that a lot of people want to call him to be an exceptional king. He may not have been exceptional. He did not lead his nation in necessary revival, but he did do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Understand that this young man has been made king at a very difficult time. I feel like tonight I want to talk to someone who is in a difficult place. He's just 16 years old. He's just trying to put together bits and pieces of life. And he's dealt with the issue of being king of all the nation of the land of Judah. His father's name was Amaziah. We remember that his daddy has a great man with the Lord, but at the end of his life, he acted foolishly, and he began to serve false gods. Gods which could not deliver the Edomites whom he defeated. That puzzled me. And God caused him to be destroyed for his foolish actions. He was carried away as a captive in battle because of his foolishness. And while he was away in captivity, his son, Uzziah, we read him now as Azariah, was made king. Certainly got to be a difficult place to come in and be king while your daddy's been carried away captive. Not only was his daddy captive, But the Bible says that the walls of Jerusalem had been penetrated. They had been destroyed. The security, the defense system that they once enjoyed had been penetrated and taken away by the enemies of the nation of Judah. And we realize this young man at 16 years old has been given the task of fortifying a city that is defenseless. Not only is there a defenseless city, but also the temple, remember, and the palace where the king lived had been robbed of all of its treasure, all the gold and all the silver. That's what the devil wants to do in the church. He wants to take all the joy, all the shout, all the worship. He wants to carry all that away. Want to get your mind on other things, get your affection on other things. But you and I must remember, we're to seek those things which are above. We're to set our affection on things which are above. And therefore, Azariah has been made king in a difficult time. They had no more treasure. Remember his own people, the inhabitants of the land. Many of them had been carried away as hostages. And here he is at the ripe old age of 16 years old with all these problems, and he's made king. Certainly we realize he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We look at verse 5. The Bible says for this young man, 16 years old, at some point in time, the Lord smote him with leprosy. Immediately we think, why? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was pleasing. He may not have been perfect. I mean, after all, you sit here tonight and the devil says, well, who is perfect? I'll tell you who's perfect, devil. Jesus is perfect. And we strive to be like Jesus. We have a perfect Savior that lives within our very heart and soul in this hour tonight. Amen? I want to study tonight just for a little bit on why that he was smitten with leprosy. God's given us a prospectus of the kingdom. It's a good kingdom, but there's destruction come to it later on in life. Why? Hey, what's God say about the kingdom which he's empowered you with? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's given you a territory. He's given you an authority in your life. How are you doing with it? Are you crucifying the flesh daily? Are you living for Jesus? Are you sold out? Are you surrendered? Hello. I want to turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles then and study why was the king smitten with this leprosy? This king who was a good king. I believe tonight that I'm preaching to some people that are good people. You love the Lord. You serve Him. You've served Him for years with all your heart. I'll tell you what, there is a danger where we could make one wrong mistake and mess things up. Not lose your salvation. But I'm talking about lose some reward. Lose some of the blessings of Almighty God. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 in parallel passage, you read in verse 1, that all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. I believe they made him king while his father was still in captivity. You see that? Did not say his daddy was dead yet. They made him king in the room of his father. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah. When he began to reign, he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. There's the prospectus of the kingdom. Second tonight, I want you to see the prosperity of the kingdom. Tonight, look around. Has God blessed you? Has God blessed the United States of America? Has He blessed our community? Has He blessed the church? Has He blessed your family? God's been good in our lives. Amen? When you look at verse number 5, we see the prosperity of this kingdom. The Bible says he sought God in the days of Zechariah. That's the man of God. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. He prospered. There was prosperity in his kingdom. Hey, do you remember in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, in verse number 30, God, through the man of God, gave a specific promise. He said, they that honor me will I honor. If you honor God, He'll honor you. If you despise Him, if you lightly esteem Him,
He will despise and will lightly esteem you. Them that honor me will I honor. Wait a minute, preacher. You're talking about a God that said I have no respect of persons. You're talking about a God that created me, and you're saying little old feeble me can honor the God of all glory. I promise you, if you will put God first, if you will honor God, God will honor you. This king, Uzziah, 16 years old, with all these problems and all this turmoil in his life, he sought the Lord our God. I want to say a few things about him now under the prosperity of the kingdom. He was a promising young ruler. He honored God's worship. He honored God's laws. He honored God's house. He honored God's man, Zechariah. He listened and heeded and revered the man of God. And for his observances of the house of God and the laws of God and the man of God and the things of God, God prospered him, and He prospered him greatly. Let me say to you tonight, friend, you that are saved, been redeemed and born again, you have real promise to your life. You have more potential than anybody upon the face of God's green earth, because inside of you is God's Holy Spirit, God's dynamite. He said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Amen? You have potential. You have promise tonight. Keep serving the Lord. Here's a promising young ruler. Next of all, we notice in verse number 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines, break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerubbaal and the Mahunims. You see this? This young man, 16 years old, he's got all this trouble and turmoil in his life. God helped him. Did you read that? Why? Because that young man honored God. God said, look at him. He's living by faith. I'm pleased with him. I'm going to bless him. Guess what he does? He takes this promising young ruler and he makes him a prominent warrior. What do you mean, preacher? This young man at 16 years old courageously stands up against the enemies of God. He says, I'm against sin. I'm against the devil. I'm against the world. I'm against compromise. I'm against the laws and the gods of the Philistines. And guess what he does, this prominent young warrior? Bible says he went forth. He's the king. He didn't send troops. He went himself. Amen? Boy, I appreciate people that'll go out and work. Testify. Go out amongst the people and you work on a job and your testimony, a living testimony that Jesus saves. You will go out amongst the world and you don't compromise with the things of the world. You stand and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done for me. He changed my life. He can change your life. And every day you're there at work, or every day you're down at the marketplace, you're living for Jesus. You're singing for Jesus. You're testifying about Jesus. You're reading His Word. Hey, you're a warrior for God. And if you're not tonight, let me tell you what, at one time or another in your life, you was a warrior for God. Man, you stood brave and true. You're a courageous. Man, the Holy Ghost come upon you and filled you, and you'd dig in and you'd stand for the cause of Christ, even if it hair lift the devil. You'd stand in there, amen? And the Bible says that this young man was a prominent warrior. The Bible says in verse 8, the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Guess what happened? His enemies even bow and pay tribute to the land of Judah. Finally, the Ammonites said, you know what? We can't whoop him. We can't whoop his God. He stood brave and true. They begin to pay tribute there to the land of Judah. Tell you what, he's a prominent warrior. See something else about him? He's a pronounced builder. Look with me in verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert. You know what he's doing? He's always building. He's always got some project. always growing for the glory of God. He says, everything I set my mind to or my hand to, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And everything he put his hand to, God blessed it. Because he was doing it for the right reason. He was doing it for the cause of God, for the cause of Christ. He wasn't doing it to say, hey, look at me, look at my people, look how great I am, look how big our church is, look how well we've done. That's not what he was after. He said, I'm doing everything for the cause of Christ, and God blessed him to go out and build. Hey, I believe he's a young man that's got a vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. He's always a building. You may say his people might not have voted for it. Guess what? He said, we're going to work for the glory of God. And God will strengthen our hand. And he will establish the work. And he believed and trusted God. I worry about some of these churches nowadays that don't want to do nothing. Sit on the premises rather than stand on the promises. I ain't trying to meddle. I'm just being honest. We need people that are willing to get out and build in their lives and build physically at the house of God and begin to have a vision so souls can be saved. That's what we need, y'all. This young man, he's building. He's fortifying. He's securing the nation. The Bible also says in verse 10 that he digged many wells. And for he had much cattle, both in the low country and the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. I want to say, next of all, he was a passionate farmer. You may say, farmer? I ain't no farmer. Well, let me confess to you. My granddaddy was a farmer. And his daddy was a farmer. And I'm proud to be from a farmer's family. My daddy grew up on a farm. I've heard him say 1,000 times over 1,000. You know, back on the farm, this is what we'd have done. And I used to get tired of hearing that stuff. But let me tell you what. He loved soil. My daddy loved to get out and dig. He loved soil. He loved to sow the seed. You and I ought to be willing to love the people of God and love the sinners too. And say, I love the opportunity to go sow the seed of the precious Word of God. Amen? Praise God. Appreciate that. Only that, but the Bible says he digged many wells. He had a lot of cattle. He digged wells. Hey, guess what? Jesus is living water. Amen? Somebody ought to go out and dig some wells of prayer and dig some wells that somebody might be able to have their thirst quenched. Amen? He was a passionate farmer. He loved the sheep. He loved, amen, the people. He loved the soil. And he loved the precious seed, I believe, with all my heart. Did you notice where he had property? The Bible said he had it in the low country and in the plains and in the mountains. And it also mentioned up earlier in verse number 10, the desert. Let me tell you what, God was just blessing him everywhere. Hey, there ain't nowhere our God ain't in control of. There ain't nowhere our God won't bless you unless you drift off into sin somewhere. Amen? Glory to God for that. Let me say next of all, verse number 11, he was a popular general. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael the scribe and Messiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. He's a popular general. He's organizing a great army. Let me tell you what. Best thing you can do is go out and tell people about Jesus and start organizing saints of God for the cause of Christ. He began to get them together. The Bible says in verse number 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. He prepared weaponry. He had a great arsenal. In fact, the Bible would tell us he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. In other words, they had inventing devices. Listen, they had a great arsenal there. He was a popular general. Let me tell you something. We've got a great weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're supposed to take it. Preach with it, amen. Read it, study it, live by it, live it out, amen. That's what he wants us to do. He's a shield and a buckler. Well, you may say, preacher, I see all that stuff. You bored me to death. He's a popular general. He's a passionate farmer. None of those things motivate me. Watch this. Verse 15, end of the verse. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Do you see the prosperity of the kingdom? Can I ask you to look around in your life? You may not be a passionate farmer. I hope you are. A passionate farmer, I'm talking about sowing the seed of the Word of God. You may not be a mighty builder. Let me tell you something, though. God has marvelously helped you. He has blessed you beyond what you could even tally up. Bank of America and Wachovia cannot keep up with how rich you really are. Well, they'll tell you how you have all this earthly money or what earthly money you don't have. But I'm going to tell you what, they cannot keep up with the wealth of your soul and with the treasures that we have bestowed for us up in heaven. I am rich, rich, rich beyond measure. Amen? We've been marvelously helped that God would take a wretch like me down there at the Balfour Baptist Church, a sinner on his way to hell, and send a man of God to preach to me and tell me about the love of Jesus, about how he died for my sin and was buried and rose again, and he saw fit to save me that night when I called on his name. I've been marvelously helped, amen. He's done things for my soul that I could never ever tally up, amen. He's blessed us and blessed us beyond measure, church. And I say glory, hallelujah, for the marvelous, almighty help of God. He has allowed us to be prosperous. He's allowed us success. You may look tonight and say, preacher, my life is anything but successful. My life is anything but prosperous. Oh, if you'd stop looking at the problems and start looking at the blessings, you'd see things completely different, amen. You'd see where He brought you from, amen. He's carried you and lifted you up when you couldn't go yourself. Glory to God, we've been marvelously helped tonight, church. And I bless His holy name for that. But in that success, there is a warning. I would see in this next verse the pride of the kingdom. Down here in verse number 16. The Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. The Bible would tell us in Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse 18. That pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. The king began to believe his own press. What they're saying about him. The fame of him is going every which way. He began to think, you know what? I don't know that I've been marvelously helped or not. I think I did it. When I look back, look at how many I have in my army. And look at all that I've done. And look what I've accomplished with my life. I mean, he's getting up in years now, I think. He looks back and says, look at all that I have accomplished. I'm going to tell you something, church. There's not one of you under the sound of my voice, including myself, that didn't have the potential for this problem to come up in your life. Look what I have done. Get yourself in trouble right there, Uzziah. I believe with all my heart that this king, being lifted up in pride, handled adversity, enemies, problems, concerns and issues. He handled adversity better than he handled success. Most of us do. When you have a problem, you'll come down here to this altar, know to pour it out before God, beg and plead Him, say, I'm trusting in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to do so when you have a problem. But when things are good in your life and you're successful and prosperous, you tend just to sit back and not thank Him anymore, and not praise Him anymore, and just say, I'm doing well just like I am. I'm glad that preacher's preaching to somebody else tonight. Hey, listen, the Christian's life, not all about problems. It's sometimes about how we handle God's promotions and God's successes. God blesses us. You need to learn how to handle success right. There's a lot of people can't handle success. God knows it. That's why in your life, all you're ever going to do is tug at an oar. Tug at an oar. When really, all you need to do is just spread the sail. Let the Holy Ghost do it for you. Steve, you're all about you got to do it. You got to do it. And you're just constantly, how you doing? Oh, I'm about killed. How y'all doing? Oh, man, I'm telling you, I've got it rough. And I know it's because you're killing yourself, tugging at the oar, when you ought to be trusting in Jesus. And listen, He can sail you through the storm, and He can sail you into peaceful waters as well. Amen? Amen? Well, he's got himself into trouble here. Watch here now. I believe he goes even further. Not in his pride, get lifted up in his heart. His pride filled his heart. But then I think he got, second of all, I think he got presumptuous. Where he began to take things into his own hands. Let me give you an example from my own life. I'm ashamed to admit it. I had gone to a church where I was asked to preach. And God has been a blessing in that meeting in a mighty way. And on the Thursday night of that meeting, when I got to the church, I did not have a message. I'd studied. I'd prepared. I'd done everything I needed to do. I did not have a thing. Oh, I took me all kinds of pieces of paper with words written down on it and said, this will preach, but I'm just going to admit to you, they wasn't none of them ordained of God for that night. The choir got up and started singing. Had a sound booth in the back of the church in a little office back there. And I got up off the front row while the choir just got started. And I went back to the sound man and I said, sir, if you don't mind, I need to pray. He said, ain't you prayed up, preacher? I said, not yet. And I fell on my face up underneath their his little bitty room, up underneath the sound system. I mean, I really bothered their sound man bad. I was begging God, God, give me something. Just give me a little thought. Give me something to preach. You've given this opportunity. Give me something. Or let a tidal wave of the Holy Ghost rush through here and I won't get to preach. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, just go ahead, God. I don't want to. But that wasn't the way it was going. It didn't look like. I got up. God said, you go back down there and sit down. I'll give you what you need. I just got up and I went back. Man, the choir got done. Special singing got done. I still didn't have it. Preacher called on me to preach. I got up. And I went up the steps. And honest, I turned around. I know I was as white as a sheet. Didn't know what I was going to say or do. All of a sudden, God began to move upon me. Give me a word to begin to speak and to preach to the people. And I preached probably, I know it's going to shock you all, about 15 minutes. That's all I'm calling. God saved 23. 23! 23! I sure was happy. God had allowed me to go and preach, and it was successful. Amen? I went home, I was wiped out tired. I'd been working a full-time job all day. I'd been preaching probably at least 5 straight weeks. I was wore out. I just finished preaching 15 minutes. You think it don't make you tired. But when you're burdened before God and you're pouring your heart out before Him, I'm telling you, it takes all the energy you got. I come home that night and sit down. My wife said, what happened? I said, God saved 23. She said, why say 23? He's done it again. Glory to God. Sit down there in the chair. Ease back. She brought me my meal. I sat down there and I ate. Yeah, my wife brought me my meal. You ought to say amen. Amen, preacher. That was a blessing that she'd do that for me. She brought it to me and I ate. I sat there in the chair and I leaned back. And I went to sleep. Fast asleep. I tell you what, I woke up 2:00 in the morning. She had thrown some covers over me. I woke up 2:00 in the morning sitting there in that chair. Neck half broke. And I got up and I looked at the time. And I went up to the bed. And I always pray before I go to bed. Always on my knees. Unless I was in the hospital that one time. As far as I know, I've been on my knees every night before I go to bed. I started getting to bed and went, oops, I forgot to pray. And I got down. I said, oh God, thank you for a good day. Thank you for a salvation for Jesus. I just said, and I got up. I said, amen. I got up and got into bed. And God said, get up. I was wide awake then. Get up. What is it, Lord? You call that a prayer? A thanks? Well, Lord, it's 2:00 in the morning. I'm tired. I'm wore out. God said, you want to preach tomorrow night, don't you? Yeah. You better get up. And you better get thankful for what I've just done for you. when you didn't have a message. You was going to look like a fool when you went up there in front of all them people. I filled you with the Holy Ghost. I filled you with the Holy Ghost. And I used you to preach to my people. And I chose to save 23 tonight. And that's the best you can do in prayer? I laid there and I said, God, wait just a minute. God said, you're arrogant. Wait a minute, no, Lord, I know what that means. And I don't believe I'm arrogant. Lord, I want to be a humble preacher. And I want to be the God said, you get up and you get on your knees and you thank me the way I deserve to be thanked for what I did, or I ain't going to touch you tomorrow night. I'm telling you what, when God spoke to me, I knew I was in sin, I knew I was wrong, and I got out of that bed and I fell on my face before God and I got things straightened out. You know, it's just possible that for all the blessings that He's blessed you with, it might be that we've not been thankful enough. It might be that we've been a little presumptuous about things. We might look and say, well, I deserve this. Let me tell you what, I deserve hell. That's all I deserve, amen. I've been marvelously helped until I've been made strong, amen. And who am I to have the sin of pride and the sin of presumption in my life? I want to tell you what this old king did. The Bible said he transgressed against the Lord his God. The Bible says he went into the temple of the Lord just like that to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Let me tell you what, according to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, the only person that can go to the altar of incense is the high priest to burn incense at that altar before God. But Uzziah began to say, well, am I king or not? Do I have the authority or not? I mean, after all, I've been king for about 50 years of my life. I'm in charge here. I've done well. I tell you what, his problem was he wasn't satisfied with the authority God had given him. He was king, but he wanted more. He wanted to be priest. He wanted more authority, more power in his life. And not one time have I seen Uzziah get down on his knees and say, oh God, I just want to thank you for what you've done. Rather, he comes right in there in the name of religion to look good before everybody and say, look at me, King Uzziah, I'm going to offer incense before the Lord. The man of God, the high priest, the Bible says his name was Azariah. He went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. They were valiant men. 80 men, and the high priest went in after him. The Bible says they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, they are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be from thine honor from the Lord God. He said, you know what, King Uzziah? You've got yourself lifted up in pride. You've been presumptuous with God. You've been arrogant. He said, you lay down the censer and you get out of the house of God. You don't belong in this place. And you know what, O Uzziah had been rebuked. What about that? The man of God stood before the king and preached the word of God. Thus saith the Lord to him. For that man of God, his head could have been chopped off. Now the Bible says, then Uzziah was wroth. He got angry. He got mad. He's standing in the house of God with a censer in his hand to burn incense, probably with some priestly robe on, looking nice and religious, nice and pious he is. And the Bible said he got mad at the man of God. Here is a man that had been popular, a man that loved the seed, a man that God had blessed tremendously. But all of a sudden, his heart got lifted up and he got presumptuous before God and he's mad at the man of God. The Bible says Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. You see, the punishment for the king. What happened? God smote him with leprosy. Oh, I'll tell you what, I begin to think about the fact of being unthankful and being prideful and presumptuous. What if God said, you know, for that, I'll never bless you again. And for that, I'm going to strike you with some disease. I believe with all my heart there are literally believers that have been stricken, smitten with some disease from the Lord because they decided they would raise their hand against the man of God. They would raise their hand and come against the church and the things of God. And God smote him suddenly. I'm telling you what, he was smitten with leprosy. It's a loathsome disease, one from which you cannot recover unless the Lord God Himself does something about it. He's been smitten of God. The Bible says, and Azariah the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. In other words, he knew, oh Lord, look what's happened to me. Look what God's done to me because I wasn't obedient to God's voice. He hasted to get out, but he couldn't. I believe he was in such awe of the presence of the Lord and what had happened to him. He wanted in his heart to get out, but his body wouldn't move. The men of God, those 80, and the high priest picked him up and brought him out of the house of God. The Bible says the king was thrust out. Oh, wouldn't it be terrible, not youngins, if we needed to come before God and get God's blessing, and God just thrust us out and said, I won't help you anymore. He, you know what, you won't do anything for me? Why should I do anything for you? God help, it'd be terrible. I want to tell you what, Uzziah was thrust out. The Bible tells me down here in verse 21, Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and he dwelt in a several house. What does that mean? He was separated. He was unclean. He was an outcast. Hey, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says lust, when it hath conceived, he had a lust for power. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I've seen ministries cut off. Yes. I've seen churches cut down to size. Yes. I'm telling you what, we ought to be thankful for how God blessed us. Now He's dwelling in a several house. He's not in the house of God anymore. He's in a several house. Boy, I tell you what, y'all, I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be in God's house with God's blessings. Amen. The mighty king has been cut down. The Bible says, Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. What about this? Uzziah was a good king. He got some priorities messed up in his life. And God struck him down and smote him. Do you see that? You see what God could do to you? And what God could do to me? For pride and presumption and arrogance. I want to turn right now to the book of Isaiah and I'm done. In chapter, if you don't get anything else, you get this. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. There were some great men of God that were ministering during these days of King Uzziah. Uzziah, that great godly king that God had blessed so, who had been marvelously helped, blessed by the power and graces of the Almighty, turned himself against the Lord. And the Lord struck him down with leprosy and eventually died. He never did get straightened back out. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, he was a man of God that was serving in those days. In the year that King Uzziah died, you see it? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Preacher, what you getting at? Hear me just a second. Isaiah, this, if you don't get anything else, you get it. Isaiah is the man of God. He loved King Uzziah. He knew that overall he was a pretty good king. God had even told him so. But he saw him get lifted up in pride and presumption, and he saw God strike him down. And Isaiah's troubled. He says, you know what? King Uzziah was a good king. Who'll be next? What will our government do next? He's worried about it. He's concerned about it. What are we going to do? He also stands in awe at the power of sin over a believer's life. I believe Uzziah was a believer. Believe it. And the power of sin got in his life, and it even shocked the man of God. And the man of God, I believe, somewhere he's down praying, saying, oh God, I'm depressed. I'm despondent. If King Uzziah could turn against the Lord, what are we capable of? A man who had been marvelously helped of the Lord could turn against God. Oh, what will our nation do? And he began to seek the face of the Lord. And in the year that King Uzziah died, here he was depressed and despondent. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne. God said, listen, you're looking at it the way man sees it. You see an empty throne from King Uzziah, but I've never left my throne. I'm the Lord God and I'm in charge. He said, I looked up and saw Him. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. He got in a holy place, y'all. I'm telling you what, right in the middle of trouble in his life, right in the middle of depression, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? He said, I saw the Lord. I saw things flying around Him, said, Holy, holy, holy. When he got in the glory patch, and he saw just exactly the Lord in the middle of his situation, then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm telling you what he fell on his face and said, I've said things. I've got unclean lips. I've thought the wrong thoughts. Lord, I wasn't trusting you. I wasn't looking to you. I just got concerned about what we're going to do. Hey, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at Jesus. Woo! We're going to keep worshiping Him. And they're going to keep flying around His throne too. And they're going to keep saying, Holy, holy, holy. One day we're going to see that. We're here practicing now, but one day we're going to see that. So in the middle of your despondency, in the middle of your depression, best thing you can do is say, Oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I look around me, I certainly live in the presence of other men of unclean lips. And I look in the Word of God, I see the King of Glory. And I look in the Word of God, I see my old wicked self. And I fall before You, Lord, to tell You, I'm unworthy of the least of all Thy mercies. I've been marvelously helped until I've been made strong. But it's just possible that I could get lifted up in pride and presumption and fall. God, I pray You'd help me to be right with You. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal. Listen, this come off God's fire. Not your fire or the devil's fire. It's come off God's fire. Having a live coal in His hand, which He had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, thy glory of God. Whoop, whoop, whoop! And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Well, I'm glory, 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 glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when we come before Him, He's still willing, amen, to be faithful and just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I say bless His holy name for that. Just when I've said the worst thing and done the worst thing, He comes and purifies me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. The Bible said, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Let me tell you what. I saw the Lord the year King Uzziah died. I saw Him high and lifted up. I saw Him when I bowed there. He forgave my sins and purged me. Who will go for me? Lord, I've got a vision now. I've been around Jesus. Hey, I'm glad, amen, we can get with Jesus. You stand to your feet tonight. We're not looking to Uzziah. We're not looking to circumstances or situations. We're looking to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Well, you bow your head tonight. Appreciate the Lord just coming by. Bless His name. Hey, somebody here, probably some maybe already bowed, I don't know. You've been marvelously helped. To the Lord has made you strong. I'm telling you, He's blessed you beyond measure. When some of them fellas fell out in this altar just a minute ago, you said, Boy, I wish that preacher quit. I want to get down there too. I want to say, God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I could fail You. I have failed You miserably. Lord, I want Your power. I want Your blessings. I want all that You can give me. Lord, I don't want to fail you. As I go on in this walk with you, I look back, you've been so good. But as I look ahead, I know there's dangers. I know there's pitfalls. I know I can get caught up in my flesh. But I pray, Lord, you'd help me, Lord. I want to stay humble before you. I want to serve you. Listen, old Paul was one. He went all the way with Jesus. God's looking for people tonight that's going to go all the way with Jesus. Not get lifted up in pride and self, but he's looking for somebody that says, Lord, I just want your help all the way. Oh, God, tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us this opportunity to look into this portion of thy word. God, we see King Uzziah. He was a man who was marvelously helped. God, you've been so good to us. God, we could never thank you for the least of all your mercies. God, we praise you for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your salvation, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I could never thank you enough that you've allowed us, God, to have an opportunity to stand and preach and to testify about Jesus, to have a copy of your word. God, you've given us a precious wife, two precious children, God. We thank you, Father, that you allowed us, God, to be around the saints of God in the house of God. Lord, I want to thank you tonight, God, that you allowed us, Lord, to pray and you saw fit to answer. Woo! I want to thank you tonight, God, that you allowed us, God, to try to praise you and, Lord, it somehow pleased you. Oh, God, I'm not worthy of anything, Lord. And as I bow in this place tonight, God, one more time I'll confess to you, God, I am a man of unclean lips. Lord, I'm sinful, God. Lord, I'm wicked and I know it. God, it's not others around me, God, that are as in much trouble as I am, God. I'm the biggest troublemaker in the whole church. And God, you know it, Father. We bow before you tonight, God, and we ask, Lord, your help. God, I pray that every one of us, God, be willing to admit, God, we're not as holy as we act. We're not as holy as we pretend to be or as holy as we think we are. Just when we think we've been thankful, just when we think we've satisfied you, Lord, we look back and see, God, how feeble and how pitiful, Lord, we really are. And God, I thank you, God, for your help. Lord, tonight we could do nothing without you. Thank you for how you bless the church. Help us, God, to grow. God, poor people are hungry and needing for the gospel, God, and want to work for the Lord. God, send them to us, Lord, that they might help us advance the gospel of Christ. Bless these tonight. God, it's come this way. Keep us safe as we return to our respective homes. For, Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you'd send us, Lord. You'd send us with the message that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen and amen.